Bringing Christian greetings this morning. It's good to be here. I want to welcome all the visitors and everyone here this morning. Just thought I'd maybe give you an update on White Pine. I know the Brother Glenn from the Fairfield congregation, I went over there twice now. And first time we interviewed everybody, and then the last time we went over, which was last week. And we talked for 3 hours. I don't know if we got anywhere or not. I don't think we did very much. We're going down again Saturday, so we'll just see what the Lord brings. But please pray for them, because it's sure not an easy thing. And thank you for praying for us. We don't feel, at least I don't, have any answers. God's going to have to do some work, or it's not going to work. Okay, this morning as I was, or this week as I was thinking about what to preach this morning, I came across an article that the name of the article was, and I know this sounds foolish, but and it did to me till after I read it, but I only got a few words from it that's important to me. But anyway, the name of the article was, "You Still Don't Get It, Look Up." And I got to thinking about looking up. I remember my dear friend, Paul Gingrich, who isn't with us anymore, he often rode with me to work, and once in a while I was going to work, we'd meet a state patrol coming from the front. Immediately I'd look down at my speedometer, then I'd look in the mirror, and I'd do all of these looking around. And then he saw what I was doing. He said, "Did you ever think about looking up?" Well, I agree, looking up. We should be looking up instead of looking around. And I had to think of that. You know, the lesson is actually out of Hebrews 11. I'll get to that in a minute. But I had to think of the students in school. This, for instance, this applies to all of us, not just them, but one of the things I thought about. Students in school, when you get tempted to cheat or disobey, do you look around to see if the teacher is watching or somebody else is watching, or do you look up? And young people, when you're tempted to sin, do you look around to see somebody is watching, or do you look up? Employees or employers, actually all of us are employees in a sense, because even the contractors here have to be under the will of the people who pay them. When you goof off or you cover up something, do you look around? Or what are you thinking about? But the Bible says that we should do it as unto the Lord. We should be looking up at these things, not looking around. Even comes to Christian people. You know, there's this little lie, this little lust, this little gossip that we do. Are we looking up? Or are we looking to see if somebody would have happened to see it? I remember talking about lying. I have to remember this one man that I knew fairly well. He was noted to be lying. You could never trust what he was saying. And one time I was, just as an example of this looking around, one time I was there at his place, and he started in on a story. And suddenly I saw him sort of look at I followed his eyes to see where he's going to. I noticed he dropped his voice a little bit. And I looked over to see what was happening, and here his wife was walking by. So instantly I recognized that this story had some problems with it. Looking up, he should have looked up. You know, there's a Father up in heaven, and he sees all. He even knows your thoughts and your motives. Every motive, everything that you do, and you'd be surprised. People say, you know, I fell into temptation. But the real thing about it is, he knows when you drive, for instance, to Zip Trip instead of going to 3 Mile. He knows the little motives why you do these. He knows why you clicked on that part of the computer, although you could say to yourself, I just wanted to do this or look at this. It was innocent. But he knows, you know too. He knows every motive behind everything. He knows why that you avoid your fellow Christian person today or tomorrow or whenever you do that. He knows the reason, And I'd like to just read out of Psalms 139 where it says that. Whither shall I go from my spirit, it says, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Then he says, whoever wrote this, I think it's a Psalm of David. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God knows these things. And so we should look up. That's the thing I want to talk about today, is to look up. Looking up, maybe I should just say, I have been emphasizing to looking around you and looking, the negative part of looking. But let's go to the positive side. The scripture talks about a class of people who were in trouble, and they always looked up. Hebrews 11, let's turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, the 13th verse there. This is people who were people like us, but they looked up when they should have been looking up. Hebrews 11, 13. Now these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You know, today, if you'd look around in the world today, and I know I'm changing just slightly my conversation here, but if you look around you in the world today, you could really become depressed and discouraged because of what you're seeing. You know, the country we're living in today, United States, is fast going down into degradation and wickedness, not only, and maybe economically too, but in, it appears like, radical socialism and all of the evils that go with Satan and his kingdom. Here we have the highest office of today openly promoting homosexuality and abortion, things that the Lord hates, and promoting them. Now, I know you have to think about the Roman Emperor and the Roman Empire and the emperors and the senators. They were very wicked, too. They practiced many of the same things here. But they didn't openly promote and make laws protecting people who could actually legitimize and make these things out in the open like it is. It's terrible. But there's much to be depressed and angry and discouraged about if your hope is down here. And for many people, their hope is down here too. I know just last week I went into a business, and I was talking to this businessman, and he was angry and frustrated and discouraged with what was going on. His voice, you could see it in his face, and his voice was rising up, and he was getting red in the face, and he was upset at government of today, and rightly so, because of what were we seeing it going, particularly, or maybe most of all, because if your hope is here, you should be really worried about things. If that's where, if you're looking around you, that's the question. The question really is, if we go down this track some more, the question is there enough salt left to preserve the United States? Maybe there is, and maybe there wasn't. I had to think of Abraham, for instance, in the time of Abraham, and Sodom and Gomorrah, and you studied that in Genesis. First, Abraham was pretty confident there was 50 people. But we look around us, and I don't know how many people that would have been there. I wasn't thinking through this necessarily, but let's say there would have been 10,000 people in Sodom, and 50 out of 10,000 is pretty little. And I don't know, is that 1/10 of 5%, or 1/10 of 5 tenth of a percent, I'm not sure, but whatever. Abraham said, surely there's that many. But then the Lord said, oh, I'd do that. And of course, Abraham recognized the Lord thought there wasn't that many. So he took five off of there. Oh, the Lord still didn't. Then he dropped it to 30. Still not. Dropped it to 20. And then Abraham said, and as he had said before, Lord, you know, I'm nothing but dust. I'm sorry that I have to say this, but I want to say it if you don't mind. And he said, what about 10? The Lord said, not even 10. We don't know where that point is. Evidently, the Lord would have saved him because of that. And sometimes we don't know. The Lord uses the wicked intent of people against them to punish them. For instance, like the quail that the children of Israel had. They were so sinful in their desire to circumvent the Lord's will that they ate this quail and wanted this quail, and the Lord gave it to them, and afterwards they got sick of it. And there's many examples of that. So we don't know today what God is thinking about America, for instance. We don't know, because he overrules in the kingdom of this world, the Bible says. He might be bringing a great famine to the earth, maybe in a sense, or to the United States anyway, maybe a famine of an economic collapse of the United States. It doesn't look that good that it wouldn't maybe even happen yet. I know some economists really predict that there will be a terrific upheaval because the United States is deeper in debt than Greece is, and Greece is going on bankrupt. Or maybe the Lord is thinking, these are just thoughts that I have to think about, maybe the Lord's thinking it's so close to the end of the world, and I'm just waiting till iniquity is completely comes to its filled up, and then I'm going to bring great judgment on the world in one day, possible, I don't know. It's amazing in a sense, because the Lord did not allow the Tower of Babel to increase in knowledge beyond it seemed like a very small point. Today we have technology, and knowledge is all over the world, and all of the cultures that saved the world to a certain extent from getting into wickedness and degrading into the terrible, deteriorating into wickedness and things, it wasn't possible because all the little cultures that the Lord had provided and made and so forth, some good cultures. But today, technology is enormously expanding and doesn't seem like there's any end in sight. So it appears like this is the end, that we're getting fast down towards the end with all the wickedness. The Bible says that wickedness shall wax worse and worse. And it says it shall come in like a flood. And if there's ever a time that this could be the case, it's right now. It appears like it's coming in like a flood. If you go back, when we moved out here to Idaho 22 years ago, I don't think hardly anybody had a cell phone. I didn't have one. I didn't have it for several years. And look what we have today. It is just expanding and so forth. And of course, the people of the world think this is a great thing. But in truth, it is almost a sign of the times. It says, the Bible says that you should look told the Pharisees that you look at the clouds and you see that it's red in the morning and therefore it might rain today, but you can't tell the time of the season. Well, I think we can tell some things from these very things. So again, I want to just say, if our eyes are looking around you, you could get depressed. But look at what's happened here with these people in verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. They all died in faith. Now, I just like we need faith today. The Bible talks about that when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? And so today we need faith desperately. Now, for many people, faith, the first thought of it is, if faith is it's simply believing that there's a God, or simply believing that something will happen, make it a very simple thing. But faith, and we've talked about this before, but I just want to review this. Faith is a big word. It's a very loaded, complicated, packaged piece of verbiage. Faith. Faith, I just want to go this route. Faith is belief, it's trust. Not just belief, the devils believe and tremble. But it's belief, it's trusting, it's loyalty, it's longing for, it's the total hope in. And the way you know that you have faith is if your actions prove it. So it's all of that. It's faith is demonstrated by action, as these people in verse 13 did. They all died in faith, not having received the promise. And you know, neither have we received the promise today. Even today, there's many promises. We have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise of things in the future. In those days, they had the promise too, of the Messiah and of the peaceable kingdom that's going to be coming. They had this promise, but they'd all died in faith, not having received it. And he's likening that to you today. We only see through a glass darkly. We don't really see the end, but we believe them. We truly believe them, and the Bible teaches us that it says in Romans that we're without excuse. The evidences are there, and we have to remember that faith is not blind. Blind faith is not what we're looking for. There's evidences. There's no excuse for people not having faith and for not acting on them. But they saw these things, and they were persuaded and embraced them by faith, because God said it and they believed it. In our lesson in Abraham and those, we have an example of how God said it and he did it, and they did it. And they acknowledged and confessed that they were not permanent residents in their country, and neither should you be a permanent resident. If you look at the earth and what's in it, then you very likely could get discouraged, but your faith, your hope isn't here. It says in verse 15, I'm just going to continue down there. It says that, 14, it says, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, another country. They said these things. They said they're strangers and pilgrims. They're looking for a different country. They're the ones that were faithful. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country that they came out, they might have had opportunity of return. You know, Moses, he was educated. He could have had everything the earth had to offer him. If he liked the country that he was in, and he did, I'm sure, enjoy the things that were around him. But if he would have decided this is his country, this is what he longed for, instead of the faith of the peaceable kingdom of Christ in heaven and so forth. If he decided that, if he decided this country, he could have had the best of that country. But no, he wanted the other kingdom. They knew, Moses knew, and all the rest of these that died in faith, they knew that the country around them, as it is for us today, is fleeting and empty. But they wanted a heavenly kingdom. They wanted a heavenly country, and it says that they were steadfast and sure of this other country that they wanted to go to. They knew as well as we know that Satan and his followers in this country, our government today, many of them, they are Satan's followers. I can't but see that in the way they act. They love power and control. They love the things that bring them fame and even do things that are wicked that is not necessary for them to rule. We know how that the rich oppress the poor, and how the poor are jealous of the rich, and the things, the fightings and wars. Today we have wars all over the country. Syria and Sudan are viciously killing their own people. And Satan deceives many, and how Christians today are weakening. Maybe the Christians even today, many of them, are not persuaded about the promise of God. And I know they're not. We read the articles from Answers in Genesis, and many of them, we have people that many Christian people that at least they say they're Christians that are tempted or actually promote the idea of things in Genesis and things that they disregard the Bible for the sake of science and wicked men. I can't trust many of the people around me, not even the scientists, because they are how would you say they will lay down their standards for the sake of people around them. And we see turmoil going around in the churches, the falling away and the loosening of what is sin and what is not. The earth is full of pain and suffering and sickness and death. But now I want to go to a little bit more positive side. There is a lot to be thankful for. Just think of you sitting here this morning. You got up this morning, you had all of the you had your breakfast, you could go to work or go to work on weekdays, you came to church, and all of the joys and things that come around. Don't let the worries of these things overwhelm us, because in fact it's Jesus says that don't worry, because he provides for his own. It says that if he takes care of the birds and all of the things that he takes care of, how much more does he care for you? So we can't be depressed about the very things I said, but you might be if you wouldn't have a greater hope. But today we have all of these, a lot to be thankful for in spite of everything. We're not living over in one of these countries that will terribly persecute their own people. So we want to go to that route. But we like the people of Hebrews 11. We need to truly be mindful of a heavenly city that the Lord has prepared for us. And that is our hope. So we should be a happy people. We should be a people who enjoy life even here in spite of everything. In Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. In other words, you fail to appropriate the grace of God. That's the thing we should be thinking about, of being careful that we diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You know, it's a sneaky, terrible Satan out there. And we hear about this in the Old Testament, how that, well, let's take Psalms 91. It says in there that the snare of the fowler, it talks about the arrow that flies by day and the destruction that walketh at noonday. These are all out to get you, looking diligently, lest any man fail to appropriate the grace of God that is available. I'm going to just repeat again about faith. Faith is belief. It's trusting. It's a longing for the Heavenly Father. It's a loyalty to Him, and it's proven by the actions. In Titus 2, it says, looking for the blessed hope. In Luke, it says, look up and lift your heads. And that's what I want to do. In spite of the negative things I said, today we should look up and then lift your heads on top of that. Lifting your head means that you're not walking with a downcast eye, because your redemption draweth nigh. We should be a thankful, happy people because of that. And 2 Peter is maybe, it sums up what we've talked about. We look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We don't see that around here. We don't see righteousness. And I'm so sad to see that our government, every day I try to pray for a government that is righteous and justice, that promotes that. And today our government promotes exactly the opposite. I'm sad to say it might not be that way in the state level or in the county level, but in the federal level, that's exactly what's happening today, and it's pretty terrible. And I don't know what the Lord is going to do with that, but let's pray for them. Let's pray for the governments, that the Lord would overrule in the kingdoms of this world. Do you know that the Lord's will is not done on the earth unless the Christian people see to it that it's done? People are given dominion of the earth. We're giving charge of the earth, and sure, the Lord will eventually overrule. That's the word. He doesn't rule. That's the word. It's not rule, it's overrule. Basically, the people and their prayers. And once the salt is gone, once there's no more 10 people in the city of Sodom, the Lord is going to bring judgment. And there's going to be a time for that. It appears like he says, will he find faith? I'm not sure. He will find faith or not when he comes. I'm going to close with that. Let's look for the new heaven, because this earth is full of this other. But in spite of that, let's not forget we have a lot to be thankful for. I'm going to open it up for anyone to have any...